Welcome. It is the new year. Amen. Amen?
Yes.
Did you come ready to worship this morning?
Amen.
I know you did. Are you ready?
Amen.
Would you stand with us this morning? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this glorious day. We thank you that we were able to come here, drive a car, and come into this beautiful house, your house, Jesus. Father, let your anointing just fall in this room, God. Let your healing anointing be upon us this morning. Jesus, we ask for a healing touch this morning. Let the words just come into us like never before, Jesus. Father, we thank you that we are able to stand here this morning and worship you. That we are able to lay our burdens at your feet, God. Father, I just pray a blessing over your people this morning. And that they are able to enter in and worship the one true God, Lord. Because that's why we're here this morning, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we get to come to this beautiful place. We thank you for what you've provided here for us, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your birth. Let us continue to have Christmas in our hearts each and every day, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I hold, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the light.
Stand a chance when I
I don't know if somebody took the excitement out of the room or whatever, but it was here during worship practice, and I know it's still here. Just break off any inhibitions. That's a good word. Just break them off right now, all right? Amen. I showed you the video last week. I'm not saying we have to look like it looked on the screen, but it would be okay because we are in the house of the Lord. Can I tell you? We got something. This world, I got to say, by and large, I see a lot of unhappiness out there. I don't know why. You know, Christmas season is supposed to be nice. I've had more family members and friends say, you know what? Somebody was just so mean today. I don't know what their issue was. Sharon and I got chewed out at the red light here in Jersey Shore just a week ago. It's like, are you kidding me? It's like, come on. It's like Christmas time, you know? It's like, wow. Anyway, you know what? The Spirit of the Lord is in this house. Amen?
Amen.
And you know what? In fact, you have something to say, don't you? All right. She's grabbing the mic, so there might be something going on here. Be ready. But we are here to sing the sounds of heaven, right?
Amen.
And the sounds of heaven are not a dirge. You know what a dirge is? That's what they do at funerals, right? The sound of heaven is joy. It's power giving glory to the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. You got something to say. Just Amen. Keep it going.
Amen. Well, I just kind of feel like some have come in with heavy hearts. And a lot of times it's really hard to worship when our hearts are heavy. When we're thinking about people that perhaps we've even lost, or sick family members, or the condition of our nation. And I just want to encourage you that as we enter in the worship, this is the place of victory.
Come on. Yeah. Let's go.
And I remember specifically when our family was going through something so horrific. And death was on the doorstep like every day. But one thing that the Lord taught me through all of that is to come into His presence with an attitude of worship and praise, because that is where the victory is.
Amen.
There is nothing else on the planet that can do anything for your situation other than Him.
Amen.
So I'm just gonna pray about that a little bit before we go into the next song, because the sound of heaven, is that Amen. Is that the next song? Because that is the sound that's going to change the situation. And although we can't bring people back, there's a joy. There's a joy that can come. Remember when David fasted when he lost his child, and it was out of sin. But he had fasted up unto the point that the Lord might do something. But nonetheless, David was a worshiper. David danced before the Lord and brought the presence, the Ark of the Covenant, back. He brought it in to where they could worship God again and they could have the presence before them. And it is a gift to us. It is an everlasting promise to us and our children, is the presence of God. So Lord God, we come to You this morning and we give You everything, every burden, every concern, everything that is out of our ability to change other than the declaration of healing or the belief in who You are, our Lord and Savior. So God, we give our loved ones to You right now. God, I ask that You bring comfort, Lord, to families that have lost loved ones, lost children. And specifically, I'm thinking of Mike Rich this morning. I had just learned that it's both of their children. God, I pray that You minister comfort, God, right now. That You minister to broken bodies that need healing. That those that are fighting for their lives in hospitals. God, I thank You, Lord, that the only answer is Your presence. And Lord, as we lay every burden before You, and I challenge You right now, lay that burden before the Lord. Speak it out. God, I give You this concern in my mind. This insurmountable hurdle that I feel that is before me. And I pray, God, the hind's feet to leap over a wall this morning of those things, and to say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea. Amen, church.
Amen.
Lord, we put that burden right before You. I challenge You to speak it out loud. Speak it out loud right now. God, I give You this burden. I give You this burden. And I trust You with their life. I trust You with my life, whatever that may be, whatever that insurmountable thing is. God, we believe and we declare and decree that You are able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Come on, church. Amen. So God, right now, we offer up our worship to You. Because in that place of declaring who you are, it opens up the door. It opens the gate of our heart for you to come in and do something so powerful and so amazing. So God, we choose to worship you in spite of the pain. We choose to worship you, God, in the face of impossibility. God, and we declare that you are our God. You are our Savior. You are our strong tower. You are our healer. You are the lover of our soul. And God, we declare that this morning, that no matter what we see, God, you are able to overcome. We are able to overcome in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen, church. So let's lift up our voices this morning and just declare and to worship God for who he is. Amen. Amen.
let all of our love and affection belong to you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you are so worthy of every song that we could ever sing. You are worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Jesus, you are worthy of every breath that we can breathe. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one could ever say.
next song we're about to sing is a combination of an old song and a new song. The new song is by Christine DeMarco of the Jesus Culture Ministry Worship. The original author is Horatio Spafford. You may not recognize him. The song is It Is Well. It's an old hymn of the church. In fact, it starts out, I believe it's when faith like a river attends my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well, my soul. Amen. The story goes that Spafford had, actually he and his family had suffered a disaster. He was a businessman in Chicago. In the Chicago fire, they lost everything. It took a couple years to try to rebuild, and then he sent his wife and children ahead of him to England to listen to D.L. Moody, a good friend of theirs. He was to go with them, but he was delayed and would follow up on another ship. And the account goes that on November 22nd, the ship was struck by a ship from England, a vessel, and sank in 12 minutes. Several days later, survivors were finally landed in Cardiff, Wales. Horatio's wife, Mrs. Spafford, cabled her husband and said these words, "Saved alone. Children are lost." Spafford immediately left, joined his wife. This hymn is said to have been penned as he approached the area on the sea, thought to have been where the place where his ship carrying his lovely daughters and wife had sunk. That's the heart that comes from a song like this. It's the background. And understand something, as difficult as it is at times, you have taught me to say, God, it is well with my soul. Amen. Amen. Sing it with us. It is well.
It is well. It is well.
Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for not believing, for not trusting. Let us be able to say it is well with our soul.
Trust in you, that we can trust you. We can truly trust you to be the God that you say that you are. I thank you, God, that you know exactly what we need. You know exactly when we need it. And you are such a good God, Lord. You're such a good father. I thank you, God, that you withhold from us. And yes, I know that the word says that he doesn't withhold any good thing from his children. But sometimes a foundation needs to be built in our lives to handle what God is going to pour out. Sometimes he takes us through instead of taking us out. Has anyone ever gotten any stronger by things just automatically given to them at our very whim? But when we go through things and we look to God, he builds and he shores up our foundation. Amen. There's an impartation of faith in exercising belief, right? We believe, so God, somehow, when he takes us through, the impartation of faith comes as he walks with us, as he takes us through. And sometimes he does take us out, praise God. But when he takes us through, it's like spiritual boot camp. It is spiritual boot camp. And we learn to trust him. And we learn to go through things that we never would have gone through in that way when we trust him and we proclaim and we profess that we trust him in everything. Sometimes there's things we need to break through. It says in the word that though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Lord, I pray for Marie this morning. God, she needs a touch from you. Shy of a miracle, Lord. So God, I pray right now that your divine hand touch Marie's body in Jesus' name. God, we curse cancer in the name of Jesus. And anyone you know or any family member, just add their name into these prayers. pray that your spirit strengthen her right now. Strengthen her family. I pray an increase of faith in Jesus' name. I pray complete and total healing in her body and a restoration of a spiritual zeal that has been lost long ago. God, I pray for Kathy Lose. And I pray, God, an awakening in her spirit, in her heart, in her family. God, I pray that your spirit move powerfully in their whole entire family, God, and bring them to a new place. Bring them to a place, God, where truth prevails, where the love of God just drowns out every other thing. And right now, God, that you become the most important thing because you are the only hope. I pray for the Rich family, God, and just pray, God, that you just strengthen them and comfort them, God. Lord, that your love would surround them, Lord Jesus. God, I pray for Heidi. Lord, that you would touch her hip, God, that you would touch her body, God, that you would touch her soul and all the things, God, that she's going through right now. They're very heavy. And I pray, God, that for just a spiritual invasion in her home right now, God, that you would just touch every inch of her body. God, for Laura too, God, I just pray that you would touch her, God. I pray for an awakening in her spirit, God, that you bring healing to her soul, that she would know, God, how much you love her. God, I pray for our children. Just insert the names of your children, because I know that our kids are struggling right now. They need Jesus. They need the hope of a Savior. And God, I pray that your spirit right now, I apply the blood to their souls as their names are being lifted up by their parents right now. In Jesus' name, I apply the blood of Jesus to their soul. God, that you would awaken them, God, that you would draw them in with your powerful love, that you would surround them right now, God, and grasp them out of the grasp of hell and bring them, God, into a place of the realization of who you are. Pray that you would heal everything, God, all the offenses and all the things that have happened to them over the years. I just tear off the veil of darkness over their minds and over their hearts that keeps them in bondage, God, and that they would be able to see the light of Christ. It says in your words about men's hearts growing cold in the last days. I've heard several comments from when you go to wherever you go that people are miserable and mean. But the word says that a kind word turns away wrath. God, as our hearts, as believers are being tested, let us not fall into the same wrath. Let a kind word come from our mouth, because we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what they're facing. We don't know what they need, but you do. And God, may we cry out, God, for words of knowledge. May we have encounters like Jesus and the woman at the well, that we can read their mail. That they would know that there's a God in heaven, because we're walking in the Spirit. And the revelation of the Spirit of God is coming through our mouths, and they're encountering Jesus instead of us. That people would be changed by the presence of God. God, forgive us when we turn in that same manner and we're nasty and we're ugly too. Let our hearts be so full of love that we respond with a kind word. When we close our hearts off with anger, the love of God cannot come through our mouth. It cannot come through our heart. It is our responsibility as believers to remain in that place of love, regardless of what is said. prepare us for the great harvest. Prepare us, God, for what's coming. Prepare us, God, to minister in the love of God. Lord, let your spirit rain down in this house right now. And God, we choose to worship you nonetheless. Though he slay me, yet I will praise him. God, we choose to praise you in the midst of whatever we're facing. We choose to praise you on the mountaintops, and we choose to praise you in the lowest possible place that we could be in. We choose to praise you, and we choose, God, to allow you to move through our hearts in the fullness of your Spirit. Forgive us, God, for shutting that off in any way. I also feel like there's some things, I don't know if it's one situation or several, but I feel like there's just something that needs to snap off in someone's life, in a family, something that's needed to move for a really long time. And it's just this situation that just never ends. It's a situation that it almost feels like it's keeping you back, and it's keeping you from moving forward. In the name of Jesus, right now, I break that doldrum spirit off of that family, whoever that is, off of that person that you feel like you just can't move forward. In the name of Jesus, I pray just a fresh wind of the Holy Ghost come into your life, come into your situation in Jesus' name. And if that's you, just take a hold of that. Let the faith come for breakthrough in Jesus' name. I declare breakthrough over your life, breakthrough over your family in Jesus' name. God, let your Holy Spirit come like a fire in the name of Jesus right now, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Break off the tiredness right now of fighting the same battle. Because truly there's a fresh wind coming right now. Can you feel it? Can you hear it? Can you grab a hold of it in the name of Jesus? Just say, I grab a hold of it. I grab a hold of that fresh wind. Grab a hold of our calling. We grab a hold of our destiny. We grab a hold of breakthrough. We grab a hold of healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Just blow in this place, God, as faith arises to take a hold, God, of what you want to release, God. Thank you, Jesus. I just pray an increase, God, an increase of desire. We just silence all the noise of the world right now. God, I pray that you pull us into the place of intimacy, God. Hallelujah. God, I praise you. I praise you for breakthrough. I praise you, God, for the fresh wind of your Spirit that's blowing. It's the fresh wind, God. Hallelujah. Just begin to lift your voice. Lift your voice. Begin to speak it. Speak it over your situation. Speak breakthrough over your situation. Speak healing over your situation. Don't settle for what the enemy has dished out. Take authority over your life. Take authority over the enemy in Jesus' name. Begin to speak it. Begin to proclaim it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I declare salvation in my family, God. Lord, we just break the trance of the woke spirit in Jesus' name. We just break that trance off of America. God, we pray for the eyes to be able to see truth, for truth to be unveiled, darkness to be exposed in Jesus' name. And God, we pray an invasion of heaven. an invasion of heaven over this nation, God, in our families, in our cities, Lord, in our situations, God. We're not going to settle for less. We're not going to settle for mediocrity in the mundane. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray your anointing on the word. God, we surrender our hearts to your word right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. We want to hear from you. We want you to come into this place. We welcome you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Encourage someone before you sit down. Tell them they're amazing. Tell them their breakthrough is coming. Philippians 2:5-11. My Bible heading says, the humbled and exalted Christ. Philippians 2:5-11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Resolution for the new year is to not to make any resolutions. So far, so good. Did you make any resolutions? I don't need to know what they are, but you know, I'm not sure why the first of the year inspires us. I mean, it's a calendar, and I get all that. You know, I know from history that when I would belong to the YMCA. Starting January 1st, you couldn't get a seat on the bike. You couldn't get on the treadmill. You couldn't get in the weight room because everybody was there from January, February. If you're new to the fitness thing and you haven't gone to the gym yet, since the first of the year, it's going to get packed. There's be of good cheer because around March 1st, everybody loses interest and there'll be plenty of room there at the treadmills. In fact, if you drive by the Jersey Shore or YMCA, can you still see the treadmills through that window? I don't know if you could see on the I guess that's the west side, and they have, you watch around March 1st, March 15th, all of a sudden they're empty. So it's just the same. So New Year's resolutions: never again taking the sleeping pills and laxatives on the same night. That's a good one right there. This is a resolution to return to the weight I was the first time I thought I was overweight. Okay, now think that one through. Okay, that's a good resolution right there. My New Year's resolution is to be more assertive, if that's okay with you guys. Here's one. I just burnt 2,000 calories. That's the last time I leave brownies in the oven when I nap. Two women over coffee. One says, begins to speak, "My New Year's resolution is to stop putting my foot in my mouth all the time." I'll bet yours is losing weight, isn't it? Okay, that's enough. I know it's January, but this is the, we are finishing today the Christmas series. And frankly, I don't know that one could be more important than another. If you've been here throughout this series, I've emphasized how vital it is that we remember the event, the time, the manifestation of God on earth in the form of a man, right? That's what Christmas is, right? Christmas is Christ, and Mass is a worship, a time of commemoration of religious sense. Christmas, it's even in the name that we remember the arrival of God in the flesh. So we've gone through the entire series so far, and again we end here, and we've been entitled to Christmas Ornaments Part 4. If you haven't been here for much of it, every week we've talked about a certain ornament, and I use it in the sense that's up there, definition, that which lends grace or beauty, a manner, a quality that adorns. And we've seen in each of the figures in the Christmas account that we've studied so far, starting with Zacharias, we talked about him, that he, even though he was unbelieving when the angel approached him, that by the end of that session, when John was finally born and committed, that he began to speak, and he began to essentially, he basically repented. He didn't basically, he began to repent before God, and he began to declare the wonders and the miracles of God. His wife, Elizabeth, was so grateful of having this son in her old age, even though she had endured years of bitterness in her life, because she was looked at with a jaundiced eye by those in Israel, thinking she must have had some hidden sin. What they didn't know was that no, there was no hidden sin in Elizabeth's life. There was a hidden purpose that had not yet come to fruition. Then we move on to Mary and Joseph, and we talk about the sacrifice that Mary would have had to have given this young unmarried woman who became pregnant, seemingly out of wedlock to her espoused husband Joseph. And so what she would have had endured, and she was so willing to do that, she said, "Let it be done to me as you have said, Lord. I am here, your humble servant." And so she did, and then Joseph was contemplating whether he should, in fact, he was going to reject her as his wife because she was found to be with child, until he had a dream. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And then began to get instructions from these angels as time went on, this angel. And so he was obedient. He was faithful to what God had told him. And he took Mary as his wife, and he kept her a virgin until she bore the Son of God on the earth. Last week we talked about the shepherds, the faith of the shepherds out watching their flocks by night when the angels appeared to them and said, head down to Bethlehem because you will find the babe, the Son of God, lying in the manger. And so they went there and they found it. And we talked about the joy they expressed. But they believed the word of God and they went. Boy, there's a message for the church. Amen? They believed the word of God. A lot of people say, "Well, I believe the word of God, but it's not enough to motivate us through faith." But they went and they saw, and they couldn't have seen unless they'd been obedient and went. And then we saw the wise men last week who came, and they were searching for God. But the key to them, once they found the Son of God, the King of Kings, laying in that house, and probably in the manger, we don't know when they arrived, but it says that they bowed down, these royalty of the kings from the east, of the kingdoms from the east, they bowed down and they gave gifts. They worshiped the newborn Son of God. So now we've come to, and every week we've been filling up our Christmas tree with ornaments of repentance and gratitude, and the sacrifice of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, and last week the faith of shepherds and the wise men began to worship. But last, but certainly not least, in fact the most, we top our tree with the name of Jesus. That is the Christmas story. The name of Jesus is the Christmas story, right? We associate Christmas with ornaments and decorations and snow and songs and festivities and meals, and it's all good stuff. But there is a purpose behind all of it, and it is Jesus Christ. So we finish this part four of Jesus. In fact, the section we use, you may be surprised, out of Philippians. It's not your typical Christmas story per se, but it is the story of what we call the incarnation, right? Incarnation, meaning, I believe it's probably a Latin root, means put into flesh. Like you have chili con carne, right? That's chili with meat, right? And what it means is that God became flesh. The incarnation, God was born through and put the power and the authority, the personhood of God was put on flesh. And it's fascinating. As I studied this, certain things kept coming out at me. And I just want to tell you, this is probably going to be a short message. Everybody's going to be, oh, good. Maybe not. I don't know. God's going to, this is his message. It ain't mine. But I was fascinated by certain things that jumped out at me. And this one was this. You study the quote unquote gods of the ages, right? Of what they call mythology. And we've talked weeks, if not months ago, that a lot of those things that we call myths, we believe without question, were actually manifestations of fallen angels who mated in the book of Genesis. It's found there, who took wives. Basically, they didn't take, they took them. They forced themselves on the women. They saw the daughters of men were beautiful. And these beings, these demonic half-human beings began to become mighty on the earth. In fact, we know of one, right? It was Nimrod. Right, we studied him weeks ago. He became mighty on the earth, and it's believed with good cause that he was probably one of this half-human, half-fallen angel. But these gods, they were look at the qualities of them. Even in the Babylonians, they had Baal, right, and Ishtar, and the Romans and the Greeks, they had Zeus and they had Jupiter, and in the European Isles, they had Thor. And then we have Ra and Isis and Egypt and Apollo, all these beings of mythology. And think one thing, what's common about all their gods, whatever these beings were. And again, I don't believe for a second they were all made up. There's a reason why there's these legacies, and I believe that many of them, I don't know about all of them, were certainly demonic beings, creatures, great and mighty creatures that were on the earth. But think about something. They all came, they were always revered, what? For their might, right? They were mighty. And that's why even Nimrod became mighty on the face of the earth. He was a powerful being, and he was looked to, and he built Babylon. He built the Tower of Babel. He built many other cities of the day. They all came to rule. They all came as themselves, as they were mighty. And frankly, it was all about them. It was all about them. How powerful they were. How strong they were. When they came, they were just ferocious. And they were, man, they controlled the weather. And they controlled the sun. And they controlled the reproduction. And they were just powerful. But not so with Jesus, the babe in the manger. At least not at his coming. So we're going to stay pretty much in that text there in Philippians chapter 2. Paul says there in verse 5, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God," and I'm reading out of the New American Standard, "did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," we know God is a spirit, right? God is spirit. And so Jesus, and again, message today is kind of a theology thing. Don't let that put you to sleep. Because theology and understanding of the nature of God is critical. Because we worship a God who is a triune God, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Okay? We're okay with that, right? We don't worship three gods. We worship Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's almost like me. And it may not be an exact parallel, but I'm body, soul, and spirit. My soul is my mind, will, and emotions. But my spirit, which has been redeemed when I see Jesus Christ, it's invisible. This is my mind, will, and emotions. My body is what you see. It's often been said, I'm on the outside of me, or I'm on the inside of me looking out at you, right? The real me and the real you. I see your flesh, your body. Well, again, it's not a perfect metaphor, but God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he was in the form of God the New King James puts it this way. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And it's not a bad translation, but the writers say it's not the best one. And the better one would be, he did not think it was something to be grasped or held on to. His equality, his place in the Godhead, in the Spirit, was not something he was going to stay and says, I'm not moving. That's what it means. He didn't hold on to that and say, look, I've reached this level. I'll just give you an example. And you name an organization. I don't care if you work in a hospital, you work in a school, you work in the police department, the fire department. People work to a level. Now, again, Jesus, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always existed. Understand that. But regardless, when people get to a certain level, they're not real keen in saying, you know, I've made it to this rank. Oh my goodness, I'm a sergeant. I'm a captain. I'm a CEO. Tomorrow, I think I'm going to go back and work the floor. You don't see that. Why? Because it's our nature to work up. But not so with Jesus Christ. He did not consider it robbery to hold on, to grasp on that position. He surrendered. He surrendered his position in heaven, if you will. Our propensity is to become greater as humans, not less. And that's why I named those other pagan gods, whatever beings they were, it was all about them and how powerful they were when they came to this earth. Not so with Jesus. He was already powerful and he laid it aside. We're going to find out why in just a few moments. And there in verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Okay, he laid aside his, and it's a good translation, is he laid aside his privileges. He emptied himself, was another translation. He laid those aside. Not his divinity, but those privileges of being in heaven and being in part of the Godhead. And so I say that his privileges on the earth up until that point, and we're going to get into the Old Testament here just very briefly, but understand that the Old Testament appearances of the angel of the Lord, of pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus Christ, when he showed up, it was powerful. I mean, look out, right? But now all of a sudden, now God and Jesus comes in the form of a baby, helpless, if you will, by all appearances. He laid aside. So I want to bring to your thought this verse from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. We often use it in the Christmas account, and I used it a week or two ago. But I'm going to read it to you again. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrat, out of you will come forth to me, meaning to God, the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. You think, what is he talking about? What that means, that last phrase there, his origin is from antiquity, from eternity. He's been here. He's been around. Let me help you with that. You go back to the Genesis chapter 14 when Abraham was coming from the slaughter of the kings, they call that. What happened there was that Abraham, or his name was Abram at that point, his brother died. His brother was Haran. And so he had died. And again, there's no Israel or there's no Hebrews at that point, because this Abraham was like the start of all that, right? So what happens was he decides to adopt his brother's son. His name was Lot. He would be fatherless without it. He would be lost. So he adopts him and he begins to take care of him. Well, Lot kind of goes out on his own. Abraham goes this way. Lot decides to go this way. He goes down to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was known already as a wicked area. But Lot's going down and he's hanging out down there. Well, all of a sudden now something really bad comes and these kings come and they invade Sodom and Gomorrah. They take Lot and away he goes with many other people. He's taken captive. He's a prisoner. Abram finds out about it. He has 300 and some people that, servants, basically soldiers. They go and they go up north and they find out Lot and these people, these prisoners. And he goes and he fights these kings. He rescues them. He kills those wicked kings and their people. And he brings back his adopted son. And on his way back, he's going through the Salem, what we now call Jerusalem, right? Same place, same city. He runs into this man called Melchizedek. Melchizedek. The king of righteousness is what this word means. He is the priest of the Most High God. And every writer that I believe would study this, I believe accurately, would say this is simply a manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. So he runs into him, and interestingly, he rewards Abraham. He gives him wine, and he gives him bread, and he blesses him. He blesses him with his reward as a blessing. And I thought this was fascinating. Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek for rescuing his adopted son, Lot, who had attached himself to the wicked city of Sodom. Isn't that amazing? Now think that through for a second. This, what I believe, and many do, the pre-manifestation, pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus, this Melchizedek, runs into Abraham and he begins to bless him. Why? Because Abraham had rescued his adopted son. Right? And you think, oh, wait a minute, in the New Testament, I think I read something about Jesus being the captain of our salvation, and we've all been adopted. And I think the parallel there is striking. There's a reason why the Lord had blessed Abraham. You could say, well, he had already called him and told him. I get all that. But he blessed him for his obedience. It was something that was, clearly Jesus Christ knew it someday he would be doing the same thing. He would go out and he would rescue adopted sons or daughters. That's you and me. He would rescue us from our Sodom and Gomorrah, and he would fight the enemy and slaughter the enemy in a spiritual realm. And so we have been set free. I think it's a beautiful parallel. I hope you don't miss that. Please don't miss that. But I'm talking about the times of antiquity that, again, Micah wrote, that Jesus, you know, this Savior that was born in Bethlehem, he would come from Bethlehem. He was from times of old. The angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham. The angel of the Lord appeared in a burning bush to Moses, right? Moses is walking along, minding his own business. Bush is on fire. It's not consumed. The Lord begins to speak. And the writers again would say this is a pre-incarnate manifestation of the angel of the Lord or Jesus Christ. Joshua comes across the Jordan River. He's getting ready. He's told to attack Jordan. I'm sorry, Jericho. Comes up, all of a sudden, there comes a big angel standing up in front of him. And he says, Joshua says, well, whose side are you on? Are you on our side or their side? And the angel of the Lord says, no, you better get on my side because I'm the one that's going to win this battle for you. It's the angel of the Lord. It's a manifestation of the rescuer, of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Abraham. And I don't want you to miss this because I want to talk about this. This manifestation, Joshua. And then you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace when Nebuchadnezzar looks in after he'd had them thrown in there for refusing to bow down to his wicked idol that he had established. That he looks in there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been cast in. He looks in, he says, were there not three men that were thrown into the fiery furnace? But lo, I see four, and the fourth is as the son of the gods. And they're loose, and they're walking around. And the power of the fire has no power over them, amen? Because Jesus is in their midst, and he rescued them from the, we use it here often, didn't rescue them from the fire. Some of you are in the fire. He did not rescue them from the fire. He rescued them from the power of COVID. I mean the fire, for example. And I don't make light of it. But this pre-incarnate manifestation is, in fact, when Abraham is on the mountain, he's going to sacrifice Isaac, and God provides the ram instead in his place, and he slaughters the lamb instead of his son of the promise, Isaac. And he names that place Jehovah Jireh, God the Provider. That's a powerful term. God is the Provider. He is our all in all. And God saw and he looked forward and he provided. Moses comes to the people. They're thirsty. And it's in Exodus, I think, 15. And they come out. They come out of the out of Egypt. Now they're in the wilderness walking around, and all of a sudden they come to get water, and the water's bitter. It's no good. And the Lord says, take a stick from this tree and throw it in the water, and the waters were made sweet. And therefore, it was called Meribah before, but there they call it Jehovah Rapha. God is a healer, right? This is a mighty term that we see in the Old Testament, a mighty manifestation of our Lord, I believe, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Moses is there, he's looking down on the battlefield, and Joshua is fighting the Midianites, I believe. And Joshua, when Moses holds his hand up, the Joshua wins, and he gets tired and puts it down, puts his arms down, and Joshua begins to lose the battle, and Aaron and Hur come, and they say, we're going to help you out, Moses. And they take one arm, and the other take the other arm, and they're holding his arms up, and he holds the staff up, the staff that God gave him. It wasn't the wood, it was the power that God placed in that article that gave manifestations on the earth of the power of God. And he's holding it up. And they win the battle, and therefore Moses names that place Jehovah Nissi. The God is my banner, it's my flag. When you go into battle, you think of the Civil War studies, if you've done those and seen the articles. They would have their flag. It was their troop flag or their company flag, and it was their banner, and they're saying, this is what we're standing for. This is our company. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. Those are powerful names. But all of a sudden, we see here that Paul tells us that he laid aside these privileges. And he was born in a stall. He didn't come in a meteor. He didn't come to Jerusalem. He didn't come to the capital. He was born in a stall, a dirty stall. The places where the sheep that would be slaughtered for the sacrifice in the temple were born, more than likely. And I believe that's exactly right. He's born in a stall. He subjected himself to his human parents. He was called a Nazarene. It's not a nice name. When he grew up in Nazareth, it had a reputation, and you didn't want to be known as a Nazarene. That's what Nathaniel tells us. Did anything good ever come out of Nazareth? Like Trepidant. He laid aside his privileges. And they said, when Jesus comes, Mary and later Joseph got instructions. You're not going to call him Jehovah Nissi. Don't call him Jehovah Rapha. Don't call him Jehovah Jireh. Call him Jesus. It's fascinating. Call him Jesus. He's not called Jesus in the old. He's given a new name. And he's not, you could say, well, Mary and Joseph named him. No, they were being obedient. God says, this is now his name. This isn't about him providing your food. This isn't about him healing your body necessarily, although that is part and parcel to it. It's not about that. Let's call him Jesus, for he will save their people from their sin. Praise God. He hasn't sent this powerful angel or being to come and stand up and say, I am the mighty one, like Charles Atlas, I'm holding the world on my back. No, he sent Jesus as a baby. Why? His mission was to save their people from their sin. Matthew chapter 1:21 and Luke 1:31. Again, to Joseph and to Mary, you will call him Jesus in the Greek or Aramaic, Jesus. In the Hebrew, the same as Joshua, Yeshua, Jehovah is salvation. That's what his name is now. And he came not from the seed of Adam, but from the seed of woman. Isn't that interesting? We studied that verse, I think, last week in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God says to Satan that the seed of the... It doesn't say the seed of Adam is going to one day crush your head. He doesn't say that, does he? He says the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. We don't need a human father here because the Father is God through the Holy Spirit. And Mary became pregnant in that manner. It says he emptied himself. He did not refuse to relinquish his heavenly privileges. Now, before I move on, my take on this, and I'll call it a theological debate on this stuff. I don't care about that. We can talk about a lot of different theology things. But some people say, Jesus did not lose his divinity. He was God in the flesh, okay? Let's get that clear. But he laid aside some privileges. What they were, we don't know. But Bill Johnson takes a stance, and I agree with him, that Jesus came to earth, he laid aside privileges, right? Therefore, he's able to show us how to be completely dependent on the power of God the Father, the Holy Spirit, to live our lives, and the power that comes from there. We talked, I think it was last week. We know that Jesus he succumbed to tiredness. He was sleeping in the back of the boat, right? He gets tired, right? Because he's God in the flesh, and so he lay. I mean, God does not slumber or sleep. We can agree with that. But he's still God. But he took on this flesh, and now all of a sudden he laid aside some privileges. So in any case, I believe the thought that Jesus came to show us how to live totally dependent on God is a beautiful story. He took on the, verse 7, and he took on the form of a bondservant coming in the likeness of men. And I've summarized it this way. The essence of the eternal Son of God was implanted into the womb of the young virgin Mary and became a human being. The incarnation. And it says he came as a bondservant. Don't miss that. If you study the bondservant in the Old Testament, I won't take a lot of time to develop the thought, but a bondservant was someone who was a servant to somebody, and in the Old Testament times, they were basically paying off a debt. Okay, now God, Jesus had no debt to pay to the Father. It's not an exact parallel. But when their time was come that they could be set free, they had a choice. As long as the owner, quote unquote, was willing, the servant says, you know what? I got my wife, I got my family, you're really good to work for me. You love me. You have taken well care of me. I don't really want to go. I want to be your bondservant. And they came to an agreement, and they would do. They would put the man's ear to the doorpost, and they put an awl through it, and his ear would be pierced, and he became a bondservant. A bondservant serves out of love. The bondservant serves out of love. And Jesus, because of the love he has for the Heavenly Father and obedience, he served. And this is what God's plan was. Bondservant. He came as a bondservant, not as a king. He didn't come as the mighty Apollo and the mighty Ra. No, he came not as a king, but as a human being born just the way we were born. He did not come to the palace, but the stable. And as his life went on, as far as mankind's ideas of success are, Jesus was not part of that. And he said to the people, the birds have their nests, the fox have their dens, but the Son of Man, I don't even have a place to lay my head, a place to call my home. This is with Jesus when he's now in his 30s. It wasn't about the wealth that he could accumulate. It wasn't about getting a cushy life. He came to serve. In fact, Isaiah 53, 600 to 700 years before Jesus was born in that little stable, the prophet Isaiah wrote these things about the suffering servant. Chapter 53, verse 3 of Isaiah. He talks about, which would be Jesus, he is despised and rejected by men. He is a man of sorrows, and he is acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And we didn't even want to look at that. Like, that can't be the Messiah. We are hiding our faces from that. And that's what the religious people of the day did, didn't they? They hid their face and it's a sign of rejection. He was despised and we did not regard him. This is the Son of God laid aside his privileges and now he's despised by the people he came to save. And so we see in this verse that Jesus, just like Mary, who was his mother to birth him, we see this idea of sacrifice in Jesus. We've already used that word on our tree, so we're not going to attribute that word to Jesus. We'll get to that in a moment. But part and parcel to what he did was sacrifice. The word in the Greek is dosia. That means that which is given, or literally it means something that is killed for the benefit of another. In the Old Testament, it means to kill in order to satisfy divine judgment that's pending. That's what that sacrifice means. And in verse 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. It wasn't a matter he was just born in a stable and lived a difficult life. Even more so, he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Even death on a cross. And now we see the sacrifice of his mother that she gave, we see the sacrifice in the son. And then Joseph, the obedient father, we see an obedient son. Even death on a cross. I want to read something from Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, because I'm going to close this up. It gives context to that. Even death. It wasn't a matter he just gave his life or was killed. It was death on a cross. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? Well, you're thinking the law is good. Yeah, but we all break it. Do you know that? Me included. You know, it's surprising. Check with my wife. There is none that is righteous, no, not one. We know the word says that. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Pretty simple. We know that as believers, right? But Paul says Christ redeemed us from the... So the curse of the law is death. Because the soul that sins must die. That's what the law says. Our punishment for sin is death.
It's
like, wow. And I'm not even talking physical death, although sometimes that comes about by disobedience. I'm talking spiritual death, and that's what he's talking about. The curse of the law is death. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Oh, wait, Jesus became a curse. Yes. Let me develop that. For it is written, cursed in the Old Testament, everyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. Right? And we know the story of the resurrection and the crucifixion. He was nailed to a tree. And Paul says he became a curse. He became our curse. He didn't deserve it. But he became that curse. He was hung on a tree. But because he was not guilty himself, he couldn't be held by death. And so he was resurrected. But we received that. He paid the penalty on the tree for us, for our sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift. Say the gift. But the gift of God. This is Christmas time. How was your Christmas gifts this year? I mean, it was great. I love Christmas. Our family, we just love Christmas. We've got some cool gifts. There's some neat stuff. I found a really good price on ShopVax. I gave these guys a ShopVax. They didn't even want it. But it was such a good price. I said, someday you're going to use this thing. Right? You will, too. You watch. We got more than that, but I found a really good price. American-made ShopVax, by the way. Right? Hey, praise the Lord for that. That's one of my key shopping components, but I digress there. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift... This is Christmas time. God gave us a gift. But the gift of God is eternal life. What a gift. That is better than a shop vac, can I tell you? But the gift of God is eternal life through all of our hard works? No. Through being at the right place at the right time? No. Wait, what's the gift? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, praise God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, if a man confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart, God raised him from the dead. Because we don't worship a dead God. We worship a resurrected God because he couldn't be held to that tree because he was sinless. If a man confesses with his mouth Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart God raised him from the dead, he will be saved. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God in a verse right there. So I want to read this. I have one or two things to read. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, what does that mean? Well, the law says you can't do this, but we're all going around breaking it all the time. What we couldn't do in our own flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. This is the Christmas story. This is the Christmas story. He sent his son in the flesh on account of what? Sin. He condemned, meaning he killed, sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Meaning forgiveness. We have to be forgiven. He met the requirement for us, because we couldn't do it. It's kind of like people that cheat on the test. They want to go take their test. They can't. They're not going to pass it. So they get a surrogate, someone else to go in and identify as them. And they rule through the test and take the test. Give the person an A. That's illegal. Don't do that. But what I'm saying is that this on a beautiful level is a minor parallel, but still a parallel. He did what we couldn't do. We couldn't pass the test. We all failed it. He met the requirements for us. So what ornament should we give to Jesus? Or tribute to Jesus, if you'll allow me to use that. We've talked about obedience, right? We've talked about sacrifice in Jesus. Jesus surrendered. What prompted all of this? How can we culminate it all together? What aspect, if I can attribute the main aspect to what the ornament, the beauty, the splendor that Jesus brings to the Christmas season, it's this: love. 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 One more reading out of Romans and I'm going to finish. Romans chapter 8. You know, especially for us men, we're not too lovey-dovey. I get it. We're not. You know, it's kind of like on Ice Age, you know, they go to talk to each other. These two guys are having troubles. You go to talk and he punches a guy in the arm, right? That's how men talk. Hey, it's going to be all right. That's it, you know. Let's go have a drink or whatever they do. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the love of God for mankind here. That's a whole different level. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Paul says this: for what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, the government cannot be against us. If God is for us, then the diseases that are striking the earth cannot be against us. And again, that doesn't mean we don't even succumb to these things at times. I'm not being flippant about that. I'm simply saying, I have God for me, and what happens is irrelevant. That's what he's saying here. For he did not spare his own son, right? He's talking about God. He did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Jesus, God didn't give Jesus his son as a sacrifice just for fun. Like, this is all you get. No, he's going to give us freely, it says, all things. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies, who makes that decision. That's what he's saying. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us as our high priest. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? What? What is going to separate us from the love that he demonstrates here? Well, Paul gives us some examples. How about tribulation? Will distress? How about persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or a sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Thank you. For him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things past, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, nor evil governments, nor COVID, nor financial distresses, nor broken relationships, nor divorces, nor broken families, nor enemies, nor people coming against you and just calling you names in traffic. And whatever. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the Christmas story. It's the love of God. Wow, praise God is right. Therefore, this is how I close. Therefore, God has also highly exalted Jesus. And he has given Jesus the name. Say that. He's given Jesus the name. What did he give him? Jesus. Savior. The Savior. He didn't call him Jehovah Nissi or Jehovah Jireh. I mean, he is all those things. But he gave him a name. You don't read that in the Old Testament. This Jesus, this is a New Testament revelation. He's given a name, and there's meaning to that name. Do you know when you're, in fact, it's in the book of Revelation, in one of the seven churches, it says, and he gives to us a new name. We got a new name. We're going to get it. When we see him, we get a new name. I wonder what mine's going to be. I hope it's nice. Some names are cool. He gives him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, on those in heaven and those on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. That's the name, Jesus, the Messiah. This new name, Jesus. God is salvation. And I say in closing, I'm going to ask the worship team to come, because we have a time of prayer. I want to just feel, we feel led to just initiate. We're going to bring the lighting down. We're going to get into a time of worship. We have two songs we're going to do. But the first one is this. Paul writes these words. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. Do you know that, believer? The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. We believe in the power of God to heal. He is still God the healer. He is still God the provider. Amen? There's power in that name. In fact, one of the first miracles that you see taking place in the book of Acts, Peter and John are up there. It's 3 p.m. They're on their way to prayer. They're going up the steps of the temple, and there's this beggar down there that he's lame. He hasn't walked forever, 42 years. You see, he puts his hand out. He's expecting to receive something. He got something, didn't he? He's expecting to receive gold or silver. Peter says, look here. He looks at them and says, look at us. The man looks up. He says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus, God is salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And he takes him by the hand and bam, it says immediately his legs and ankles were strengthened. He began to stand up. He jumped around. He rejoiced. And finally he's at that gate we call Gate Beautiful. It is well believed, because he was crippled, he could never go beyond that. And I believe that. I believe he could never go beyond that gate. But he was delivered that day through his infirmity, because he was infirm. The infirm weren't allowed in there. There must be something wrong with them. And guess what? He began to stand up. He rejoiced. And guess what he did? He went into the temple and gave glory to God. He was delivered by the name of Jesus. We are here to talk about the name of Jesus. You can bring those lights down. We're going to begin just this. I'm going to pray. We're going to bring you in the song here. And I'm going to ask, just spend the time. Where's Pastor Sherry? Okay. She's around. I'm going to get her, and I'm going to ask Pastor Sherry and Cheryl, do you feel willing to, in fact, you can come down. I want those two to pray for you. If you have a specific need, the name, we are here, this is about the name of Jesus. We don't have any power in ourselves, but the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. It's His power that He's given to us. And I just believe God wants to do a mighty work. If there's a specific need in your life, I want you to please come forward. I want the elders, Chris, if you're available, and Dave, and Tim said he'd come down. Or Angie, we're going to tie you up for a little bit. I'm sorry, but we're just going to have a time of prayer. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? Is there power in the name of Jesus? Amen. It's the name that is above every given name. You will call Him Jesus. God is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. That's what it means. You can begin to play. I'm going to ask you to please stand. God, we thank you, Father, that we don't have to rely on our own strength, because God, there are so many impossibilities that we can't, we can only work in the flesh. But God, when you live in us, the power of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us as believers. And that's the power that we are given, the name of Jesus. God is salvation. So Father, right now, we pray in Jesus' name, dear God, that you're going to do a mighty work in the lives of people here. There are physical ailments that need to be prayed for. There are babies in the hospital that we have people that need to stand in the gap for Ashton. We have other needs, dear God, right now, emotional, physical, spiritual. God, right now, we are calling on that name of Jesus, the name that is named above all names. Because every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And that doesn't just mean physical knees. That means the knees of The knees of brokenness have to bow. The knees of disease have to bow. The knees of cancer have to bow. The knees of a broken relationship, they have to bow. The knees of a broken finance, they have to bow. The knees of the enemy have to bow. In the name of church, I'm excited. I hope you're excited. Like, I want to be frank with you guys. I love you. I don't make this stuff up. I don't make, like, this is the real thing. And we believe that we know the power of Jesus, the name of Jesus is mighty. Amen. He's mighty to save. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, today is the day. My Bible says today is the acceptable day of salvation, for we do not know what tomorrow holds. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So as we begin to pray, I'm going to ask, in fact, Pastor Sherry, would you please get with Paul and Cheryl and pray for Paul? We talked about what's going on. Does he need some prayer? Others, elders, please, if anybody comes forward, we have some amazing, loving people that want to pray with you. If you don't want to reveal exactly what it is, that's fine. Please do that. If you don't want to come up, then raise your hand so I won't come to you. We have elders. We have elders that are here and they'll pray with you. We are here to sing the power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you believe it, church? I'm just going to say one more thing. Jesus could not do many mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief. There was an atmosphere of unbelief. He goes down to Capernaum, and guess what? They had such a need. He goes, God, Jesus, you are the one. And all of a sudden, he begins to do miracle after miracle after miracle. Amen? It's power in the name of Jesus. Do you believe it? We need an atmosphere of belief. There's power in the name of Jesus. Sing with us. If you have a specific need, please, someone will pray for you. Let's go. We're just going to have a time of worship.
every chain, break every shame. To break every chain, break every chain, break every every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name. Break every chain, break every chain.
Let's sing that again.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Because I said so. It's because He said so. We are believing and trusting with all of you that received prayer today or are prayed today that God will deliver the answer that you are seeking today. There's power in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for that powerful name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the Son of God who laid aside his privileges, took on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Therefore, you have highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So, God, we are trusting, Father, that knees will bow today in the spiritual realm. The knee of depression will bow. The knee of fear will bow. The knee of broken relationships will bow. The knee of helplessness will bow. The knee of hopelessness will bow to the name of Jesus, because you are the answer. Father, we thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Okay, we're going to, if you just, you can maybe be seated. We just have a couple things to inform you. We have a song left over. We'll probably do that next week. Or, yeah, we'll do that. It's a good song. Don't miss it. We have a couple of things we want you to be aware of. If you'll give your attention to the screen behind me, and I'll get out of the way a little bit. Okay, prayer. January 5th. We're back on this week. Took last week off. Hope you prayed where you were. 6 o'clock. Please come and join us in prayer. We have an awesome time of sharing, teaching, and worship, and pray, and just get into the presence of God. We need that midweek time of prayer together as the body of Christ. 6 o'clock. So we're starting this up again. We got a phone call. The Greatest Generation Ministry at Manor Care in Jersey Shore starts today. We are scheduled next week. And they have us lined up every 2 or 3 months. So I ask you, in fact, I want to read this verse. It's a verse you all know. When Jesus came to his hometown after he had been basically had, you know, just received the power of the Holy Spirit in the wilderness after the Jordan, the Spirit of God rested upon him. 40 days tempted in the wilderness, and he came to his town. He took the book of Isaiah and he read these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and to bind up the brokenhearted." You go to Manor Care and there are people there, you know, and think of it. You go to church all your life, then all of a sudden, you're, for whatever reason, you go there and there's been no more church in the last year or two. And it takes people that will step up and say, "You what? We're going to bring church to you because you can't come to church." And I want to tell you, those people, you talk about a broken and contrite spirit, those people are amazing men and women. We call them their greatest generation. Many of them, I know, would be World War II veterans and Korean War veterans and so on, that they've given their lives for the betterment of this country. We are going there not to only to honor them for who they are, but more importantly, to honor Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we go. So please, if you'd like to come, I don't know, I probably want to know if they have a mask restriction or not. I know that I won't be wearing a mask while I'm preaching, so that's probably where I'll limit it, because that's, I don't know what, we'll find out. We'll get an answer on that, but please come. We'd love to have you. Some amazing people there. Saturday at 2 p.m. Sunday at 2 p.m. Scratch Saturday, Sunday. Is that it? Okay. Would you please stand? We love you guys. We wish you the best for an anointed new year from the power of God. Right now, Father, we pray, Father, a blessing of the power of the Holy Spirit. As much as you brought life to this planet through the Son, Jesus Christ, I pray an impartation of life to each person with the hearing of my voice today, that your power and your Spirit will work in our lives, and that every need will be met. God, we declare it, because we not only mean it, but know it to be true. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. The powerful name. Jehovah is salvation. Thank you, Father, for the Christmas account. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you guys. You are dismissed. Brother Tim, can we play some parting music up there? Some soft music. We'll... Thank you.